This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, health officials are tracking a dramatic rise in sexually transmitted diseases. But first, more and more grandparents are becoming the primary caregivers for their grandchildren. And here to discuss grandparents as primary caregivers, the challenges they face, and the services available to them, our Director of Advocacy for Children Incorporated, Mike Hammonds, AmeriCorps volunteer for Children Incorporated, Rebecca Hollis, who helped organize a recent conference on grandparents raising kids, and Jean Miller Jacobs, a Kentucky grandmother who's raising three grandchildren. Are you a grandparent who's raising your grandchildren? Join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rebecca, Jean, and Mike, thanks to all of you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Rebecca, what do the statistics show as far as more and more grandparents becoming the primary caregivers for their grandkids?
Right. So that number is pretty increasing throughout the U.S. In the U.S., there's over 2.5 million grandparents raising their grandkids and about 2.8 million grandkids being raised. However, that number is actually probably larger, as some people still do care for their grandkids without being the traditional caregiver with custody. So we expect those numbers to actually be a lot larger than they're reported to be.
And Kentucky, I believe, is the highest state for grandparents who are caregivers?
The percentage.
Per capita.
Yeah, per capita. There's about 55,000 grandparents raising. In Ohio, we see that number actually jump to almost 90,000, though.
Mike, you've called this a silent phenomenon. Why is that?
Well, I think it's happened so quickly, especially with the heroin epidemic. But also, grandparents are embarrassed to talk about it and would rather not have this situation. They'd rather still be grandparents rather than parents. So, and I think that many of them just have to hunker down to make the changes in their own life. Especially if they weren't working, they have to go back to work maybe, or if they were working, maybe they have to take off in order to watch kids. So there are a lot of hardships involved that I think, and Jean can speak to this better than I, but you get pulled back from the kind of social network you had before and taking care of your grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Jean?
Yeah, that's true, because your life changes so quickly, and your friends, right, their kids are all grown, and they have their free time. For instance, my husband, he enjoyed fishing, so he had the freedom to go fishing whenever he wanted. Once we got the grandchildren, he grieved over the fact that he couldn't go fishing whenever he wanted, and he couldn't do the thing. So you end up creating a new circle of people who are in the same situation as you are.
How tough is it, Mike was mentioning, discussing this with your friends. Is it difficult to explain to your friends?
It's extremely heartbreaking, because you don't want, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed of the situation that maybe your children are in, or that you're in with having to raise those children. So it's very difficult to talk about.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. Mike, you mentioned the heroin epidemic is something as a force that's driving this trend. What are some other things that are leading to this?
Well, illness of a parent or disability of a parent, sometimes the death of a parent, sometimes a parent's incarcerated. So I think those are the biggest reasons. When I say illness, too, I think a lot of it's mental illness or behavioral issues that impact the parent's ability to care for children. Again, Jean, your experience with other grandparents, you probably might have a better sense of that.
Yeah, most of the grandparents that I associate with, either through support groups or Children's Inc. or Children Inc. or just through other friends, most of ours are drug addiction. But there's also, too, during the Iraq War, the deployment issue. But that's where most of ours is.
Jean, tell us your story. How did you become a grandparent who's raising your grandkids?
My son and my daughter-in-law have three children. And my son was in a very bad motorcycle accident, and he was prescribed pain medication for about 2 years. And he became addicted to pain medication. And once they cut off the legal aspect of it, he pursued his pain medication illegally and ended up being incarcerated. His wife became addicted to heroin. And so we got custody of our grandchildren through DCBS, the Child Services.
Almost in the middle of the night, wasn't it?
Well, it was during the day, but it happened very quickly. So an arrest happened on Monday. On Wednesday, we were contacted by DCBS, and we had the children by noon on Friday.
So what's it been like for you? It's three grandkids, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's it been like for you and the grandkids?
At that time, we had an infant, a one-year-old, and a three-year-old.
Oh, a lot of sleepless nights, I'll bet.
A lot of sleepless nights because the infant was still feeding every 3 hours. Just trying to clothe and feed them is tremendous because a lot of times you don't get all the clothing. The other thing is you're exhausted, and then you have to deal with the court system, and you don't know what you're going to be going up against. And then DCBS, which we had awesome workers. We had a fantastic experience, but not everybody has that. And then there's a lot of misinformation about what you can and cannot get. So at one point, Kentucky used to have kinship care for relatives, and that got removed. And so you can get KTAP, but you have to agree that they can pursue the parents for child support. So a lot of people don't want to do that. So there's financial, there's emotional, you're exhausted, you can't find accurate information. It's extremely overwhelming.
So have you started to, as far as the kids go, how have they adapted to this and adjusted to all this?
Well, they did well, but we pursued counseling. Counseling for me to help understand addiction and setting good boundaries, and then how to have them adapt to basically losing their parents and other people that were in their life every day.
Is that something you'd advise for any grandparent who finds himself in this situation to seek counseling?
Oh, absolutely. And then also we went to support groups. So you go to the support group and you think, oh, I'm the only person who's embarrassed that my child is incarcerated or that I'm in this situation. And then you learn everybody there is in the same circumstance and you're not alone. And then people start sharing what worked for them and where you can go. And then you start adjusting.
Have you reached a point where you feel like these children are my children now?
Right. I believe you go through a psychological session, right, where first you think, I'm just taking care of them until everybody gets their life in order, and then they'll go back. But then you reach a point, oh, I have to teach these kids how to read. I have to teach these kids how to cook, right, or do different things so that they can become a good functioning adult. And I think that that's at the point where you start thinking they're mine more than they're someone else's.
Mike, what kind of legal issues do grandparents who are caregivers, what kinds of things do they need to consider?
Well, that issue that she just talked about, in order to get some support from the state welfare, for instance, the state will go after the parent for reimbursement. So they'll go after your children for child support. Well, you may or may not have a formal arrangement with the parents where you're taking care of the kids. You may not have a custody order. You may just be taking them because they don't have the capacity. But when you try to get welfare and then the state turns around and goes against them, they come back to you and say, I want my kids back. And you know they can't go back into the situation they were in before because they're not quite ready for it. That's one issue. Sometimes the arrangement does need to become permanent, and you have to consider the options of foster care. It unfortunately is a web of complicated supports that may or may not be available. One may cancel out the other. That is different for every family, and I'm sure our DCBS is Department of Community-Based Services in Kentucky that oversees this situation, but over here it's in Ohio, it's Jobs and Family Services, and I'm sure it's somewhat similar over here. These are common complications that grandparents have all over the country.
Well, what was the process like, Jean?
The process to get them?
To custody, yeah.
It went really fast because mine went through the court, and my story is kind of funny because I went in there, only the parents and the person who has custody of them, physical custody, goes into the court. And they talk, the attorneys talk, the judge talk. They said, okay, we're done. And I said, excuse me. I raised my hand. I'm like, I'm sure you just decided something that impacts me, but could somebody explain it to me? And she said, well, your attorney will. And I said, who is that? And so, oh, go get her an attorney. And they said, you go out in the hall and they'll explain it to you. And his explanation was, okay, well, now today you have all the rights as their parents do and nothing else will change.
He said it went pretty quickly. How long did it take to do this?
Okay, so I got permanent custody the following Monday after I got him on Friday.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you would like to join our discussion. And Rebecca, do you have statistics as to how many grandparents who are caregivers also happen to still be in the workforce? I think that would be a big challenge for this.
So I don't have those numbers, but based on my support groups, most grandparents who I've met are still working because they simply can't afford to care for children without some form of income. Whether or not they had already left the workforce and retired and rejoined, that's definitely an issue that a lot of them have, is they work a 9-to-5 job, if not later, to support these children because they don't receive much other financial support.
Jane, in your case, are you and your husband still working? Or?
Yeah, my husband lost his job the day that we got the children.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but depends on, you know, it was a godsend because I never thought about that Friday what I was going to do with them when we had to go to work. So, my husband stayed home and took care of the children.
Grandparents usually get to be the ones who dote on the grandkids and play the I'm the loving grandparent role. How difficult has that been to make that shift from having to all of a sudden having to be the parent and having to be the disciplinarian? What's that been like?
For me, it was very difficult because I looked forward to having those grandchildren and loving on them and spoiling them. And then I couldn't do that anymore because I had to raise them, you know, to eat well and do things just like a parent does. And so for me, that was the hardest thing to get over, was not being able to spoil them. But at our house, we have coffee in the morning, and that's either chocolate milk or strawberry milk filled to the rim with whipped cream, and that's me being a grandma.
The other grandparents have other problems, though, with the kids, and a lot depends on what the parents are like. You know, sometimes the parent still wants to be the kid, and they want to be treated like the grandchild, the same as the grandkids used to. Maybe they'll be interfering. Sometimes that they'll try to interfere with what the grandparents are trying to do in terms of imposing discipline. Sometimes they're fighting. The parents are fighting with each other. Sometimes there's been abuse, and the kids come into the grandparents' home with a lot of issues that still aren't resolved, and maybe are still alive because the parents are still acting out.
Well, it sounds like it can be a tough transition, though, Mike.
Yeah,
and post-traumatic stress, I think, from either the neglect or their situation. A lot of children who are transitioned have post-traumatic stress.
And a lot of them also suffer from attachment disorders. So figuring out, you know, I've been left once, are my grandparents going to leave me too? So they'll act out to test that relationship and see if they'll get to stay in the household. So that's something else I've heard from a lot of grandparents, is that counseling is so helpful to help identify, okay, maybe my grandchildren aren't acting like every other child in their classroom, but they're acting normal for their specific circumstance.
And we will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss grandparents as primary caregivers, the challenges they face, and services available to them are Director of Advocacy for Children Incorporated, Mike Hammonds, AmeriCorps Volunteer for Children Incorporated, Rebecca Hollis, and a Kentucky grandmother who's raised three grandchildren, Jean Miller-Jacobs. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jean, I know it's been a tough situation for you and your husband, but what kind of rewards come out of doing something like this?
Oh, I just, like any grandparent, your heart swells, right, when those grandchildren come and they give you hugs or they give you kisses or they're so sweet. I think I never thought twice about taking them, ever. And so I'm just so grateful. Also, too, that there's a lot of forgiveness because we transitioned my grandchildren over the summer. So there's a lot of forgiveness that happens on both parts. And if you don't have that healthy part of it, that can also be a problem when they're not with you 100% of the time anymore. So I don't know. it's just a blessing every day to see them happy and healthy.
513-419-7100, and Ellen in Mount Healthy joins us now. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I have 5 grandchildren that I'm raising with my husband, and I guess at times I think you feel like you're on an island. You know, young people with children don't really look at you as a peer, you know, for social situations. And, of course, older people who don't have children aren't going to look at you either. So I was interested in support groups.
Okay. So what kind of support is out there? What kind of resources are out there for folks like you? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or to meet other parents or grandparents that are raising.
Ellen, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in Ohio, the first place you would call is the Hamilton County Jobs and Family Services. They have a kinship care department. That number is 513-946-1000. They're going to be the ones that know of support groups in the area, of permanency incentives for any sort of payments you might need. They'll be your first contact. If you want to also try the kinship support hotline, that is in Kentucky, but they could still be of help. That number is 877-565-5608. And if you can find a support group, I've honestly heard that that is the best support you can find as a grandparent raising, or if you know somebody, a relative raising their relative, try to find a support group so you can find a network that can help you.
Okay. Thank you.
Ellen, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Denise in Pleasant Ridge. Hi, Denise.
Hi. I have a question that relates to a friend who has taken in a teenager informally. There's been no legal or court action. He's just living with her because he's not living with either one of his biological parents. And I wanted to know if you knew about any risks that she is taking on. She's doing something really extraordinarily generous, but if something happens to the child or the teenager, what could happen to her?
So the question is legal risks that this person is taking on? Okay.
Well, generally, you have the children not just because you're the grandparent and you've offered to take them, but there's some intervention with the court system or with the Cabinet for Health and Family Services in Kentucky or Jobs and Family Services in Ohio. So they authorize you to be caring for the child. Sometimes the parent can authorize you to do it with an affidavit or some agreement, but there's generally an authority that the law places in the arrangement.
And Denise, in this case, it's is there a relationship between the two of them? I mean, is this grandparent, grandkid,
no,
or no?
No.
Okay.
She's just a family friend, and
who's just doing this out of the goodness of her heart? Okay.
Right, off the books. There's been no lawyer or social worker or any other authority to sort of designate this as a particular arrangement. And so I feel she's vulnerable if something happens to the child. God forbid, I don't think anything would. But if something happened, I guess actually the real question is, what steps should she take to protect herself? Because I think the arrangement's going to continue for some time, meaning months.
Well, I think the safest thing to do would be to talk to an attorney, but I doubt she has as much exposure as it might seem. She, you know, just exercises, due care, it's best that she talked with an attorney.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call, Denise. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for the advice. Okay.
Bye. Let's talk to Maria and Mason. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Go right ahead.
I was calling because I am an adult child of being raised by grandparents. And how wonderful it was that somebody got me out of the situations that I was in with my parents. And then, but one of the things for anybody who's listening, if they were able to not let them go back home until they know that the parent is able to, like, really step up. I was sent back and then had to be taken out again. And it was it was detrimental, but I ended up coming out of it great. But I just, that's all I kind of wanted to, like, don't let them go back until you know.
Jean, you want to comment on that?
I agree 100%. I would not have, if they were not sober, they would still have visitation, but they had supervised visitation. I didn't leave the children with them alone. I would never have put them back if I didn't have faith that they were prepared to take care of them. And I still take them. So I still see them and have them. But I agree 100% that if it's not a healthy environment, to not return them.
Okay, let's talk to Karen in Delhi. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay.
You can go right ahead, Karen.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My husband and I, well, we have all four of our grandchildren now. One we've had since he was born. He's 18. And he has major emotional and, well, brain trauma. He has CF. He has other things. And the three girls we got in 2009, their mother was murdered by their father. Mm. And he's incarcerated. Of course, she's gone. What do you do after years and years? I mean, we have learned that Medicaid can be our friend and things like that, but I still don't know how to navigate the system well. But my husband can't retire, and he's ready. And they found he has an aneurysm. And I have my own health problems. What do you do when you need certain types of support when you get to this place? You know, we are almost unable to pay our mortgage now and different things. And at first it was easy. There were all kinds of people out there with hands out. I mean, overwhelmingly generous. And we could not have done without people. But then, you know, people tend to forget. But we still have the girls and you know, their brother, their half-brother, and still have to provide. And luckily, the kids are self-starters, especially the girls. I mean, they're A students, no help from me. They're and they're great, but it's counseling all the time. It was at one time, even every 2 weeks for one of the girls, she would be at an appointment for her pulmonary status and was in the hospital 1 year four times. And when that would happen, I would have to go in. I was working full-time as an RN, and I had to give that up the very day my daughter my daughter was murdered. And I have not been back and could not do that anymore. But still, we don't qualify for a lot of things because we are just a few dollars, I believe, over the cutoff for assistance. And my husband doesn't make $1 million or anything. But it's just not enough anymore. And I'm having a hard time, like I said, navigating the insurance, much less everything else. We've talked to our mortgage lender. You know, they kind of laughed in our face type of thing. And where do you get help?
Yeah, it's a tough situation, Karen. I'm really sorry to hear what you're going through. Anybody have any advice for resources she can turn to, places she can look to for help?
Are the girls still in school?
Oh, yes.
So I don't...
So is their brother, too. He'll be in school until he's 22, I believe he can be.
So the Friskies, the family resource centers, they have resources that maybe a lot of people don't think about. I know for Kentucky, they also come and attend our support group, and you can go to the school resources, and they can help you qualify for either ways to help pay your utility bills or things like that. Unfortunately, this is a more common story than uncommon because myself and my husband, we exceeded any limit for assistance for daycare or anything, and except for the KTAP and the Medicaid. And I think that as if 2.5 million people contacted their representatives and were loud about it, we would have a much bigger hand because according there's grandparents raising their grandchildren save about $4 billion a year. That's huge. So we have a big voice. We just have to make more people aware of it. And then also, too, a support group would be able to give you other options, too, with food, clothing, and financial assistance.
And what was the name of the group you mentioned, Jean?
Friskies, yeah. They're family resource centers. I live in Kenton County, and all of the schools except for one have a family resource center.
If you're in Cincinnati, you'll want to talk to your school resource coordinator. There's normally some person on staff that will help you connect to those resources in your community as well. So I would recommend definitely reaching out to the schools, because there are a lot more people with the same situation that I'm sure have asked for the same kind of help.
But as Jean has said, it's not uncommon for grandparents to have just enough income to not qualify for many services, and it is unfortunate. And grandparents do save the system, as Jean said, $4 billion a year. This is one of the problems with this being a silent situation. If it were more, if more people were aware of it, I think we could draw attention from our policymakers and get some needed support for the grandparents.
Let's talk to Maya in Dayton. Good afternoon, Maya.
Hi, yes. I was calling because you'd mentioned earlier that some of the kids of the grandparents that are raising a grandchild, or the child, or the grandchild want to be. And I 12 years ago, my husband and I split. He was abusive. My father invited us to his home, and we've been there. We stayed for several years, and then we have our own place, but he's the landlord of my house now. And my daughter is basically torn between both houses. We're very close to each other. We're actually in walking distance. And he's got a very good financial standing. And, of course, I don't as well. And so I'm grateful, but I feel like he's trying to redo what he couldn't do for me and my sister when we were children. And I'm grateful, but it's so nice to hear that all of these grandparents are doing their part. It's hard, I know, and being a parent is hard. I only have one child. And so I just wanted to make that comment. I really don't have a question, but God bless you all for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Maya, good luck to you in your situation, too. So,
thank you.
So, Jean, what would your advice be to grandparents who find themselves having to take on this role? What would be the big thing that you would tell them to do at this point?
Networking is huge. So, you know, it's interesting to me, a lot of professionals can give you suggestions, but they've never really been in that situation. And so having friends and a support group that are in the same situation helps tremendously. So if I know that the kids are going to be out of school and probably going crazy, I can contact other people that are in the same situation. Their grandkids, they're tired. We go together. We go to the park together. You bring the drinks, I bring the other snacks, and they run crazy. And we know, and we all know each other, so it's not one thing, you know, for me to say to another person's grandchild, okay, you know, don't do that or whatever. But that has probably made one of the bigger changes, is that I had to regroup who I was going to spend my time with and what I was going to do. And yeah, they have been a godsend.
Helps to know you're not alone, doesn't it?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mike or Rebecca, any advice?
I would say a support group is definitely beneficial. I go to one that's been going on for about 25 years now, and the women and men who attend say that it's what's changed their experience completely, finding people who have similar situations, have advice for the similar situations they've been through. Most will also bring professionals in, so legal attorneys, counselors, insurance, just to help you guide through that process that you might know nothing about until you receive a child.
I'd only add to access the resources that are available both from the state agencies as well as your church and your other support groups. and don't hesitate to call on them. And frankly, if there is an issue that you're not getting resolved, I would talk with an attorney, especially one that has some experience with serving grandparents in this situation.
Well, Mike, Jean, and Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Director of Advocacy for Children Incorporated, Mike Hammonds, AmeriCorps Volunteer for Children Incorporated, Rebecca Hollis, and Jean Miller Jacobs, who is a Kentucky grandmother who is raising three grandchildren. Coming up, we'll look at what's causing the dramatic increase in sexually transmitted diseases in the U.S. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.